Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Rayray is Fundamental podcast, episode 60. And my princess is in another castle. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. What's up, Internet? This is the Rayray is Fundamental podcast, episode 60, recorded on September the 12th, 2016, brought to you by Rayray.net and the Happy Hour Network. My name is Ray Moraldi, also known as Rayray. And as you know, this podcast is usually about NBA talk, since I am, after all, an NBA online writer for themobilecast.com, for blueandgold.com, all that other stuff. But I also talk about other things like other sports, video games, wrestling, anime, music, whatever I want, because this podcast is the definition of fundamental. In this episode, I have Chris Barnwell from Horror Paroxysm at the Hive, NBA at Large online writer also, and we're not going to talk about basketball, we're going to talk about video games, because September 12th is apparently National Video Game Day. And what we're going to talk about is guilty pleasures in our video games, whether it's a bad game or what we like to do in games, stuff like that. And we're also going to be joined by Adam Jacoby, of course, the greatest storyteller of all time, who is most of the time my co-host for this podcast. I'm not going to waste any more of your time. I am bugging through this intro. So here we go. Here's Adam. Here's Chris. Video game talk right now. Scratch. Rayray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 60. You know me. I'm Rayray. And joining me, as always, the greatest storyteller of all time, Adam Jacoby. What is up?
Not a whole lot, man. Settling in to watch a little Cubs and Cardinals. And thanks to living in Des Moines, I only get the Cardinals broadcast, despite the AAA affiliate for the Cubs literally being in this city. Yep, only the Cards.
No Monday Night Football for you?
No, football's so bad anymore.
Okay.
Oh, football's the worst, guys. Don't watch football.
All right, so our guest for this episode, he writes for Horror Paroxysm, The Friendly Bounce, At the Hive, Gamer also, Chris Barnwell. What's up, man?
Doing pretty well. How about you?
We're doing good. So, here's what happened, okay? So, last Saturday, we're supposed to record this episode. Today is Monday right now. And it's really fitting that we're recording today, because today, on Monday, September the 12th, is National Video Games Day. So, it's perfect. But we're supposed to record this episode last Saturday, but my recorder, shout out to Pamela.biz, whatever, did not work on Saturday night, so we postponed it to Monday, and wouldn't you know it, it's National Video Games Day, so it's actually correct for this episode of what we're going to talk about, basically. So, that's what happened. Here we are now. And what we're going to talk about in this episode, in National Video Games Day, is guilty pleasures in video games, whether they're bad or they're awful, or whatever they like to do whatever you like to do when you're playing a video game. It's like, you know, whether you like to drive around on Grand Theft Auto or something like that, you know, just the guilty pleasures, no matter what everyone else says. So, Adam actually had a story ready to go until we got cut off by that stupid recorder. So, go ahead, Adam, you can tell your story.
I'm a little disappointed that I'm going to have to finish the story now, because we spent about 45 minutes with me starting it and then immediately having to stop. And so, 48 hours of my roommate had an Xbox, I feel like the rest of the story might not be able to live up to that amount of hype.
This will always be a legend to me.
But your roommate had an Xbox.
An Xbox 360 at that. My roommate for a while. And so, as guilty pleasures go, I didn't play a whole lot of games on the Xbox. But I did play Halo 3, which is an objectively great game. And you wouldn't think of that as a guilty pleasure. But here's the thing. I suck at Halo 3. I am terrible. I've played it enough that I should get better. I got no better at all.
From day one to like day 50, it was the same.
Just, yeah, it's like if you put a cat on a basketball court and then you check back on the cat in 2 months, the cat is no better at basketball. There are concepts that are far beyond the cat's mind that go into it. And I was the cat on the basketball court. And what made it fun for me was when my roommate was in the same room watching me, because it drove him up the wall to see how bad I was at the game. And I wasn't like doing intentionally bad stuff, like setting down a grenade and like sitting on it and blowing up. Like I was putting forth the effort. I'm just so bad at all of the shooter games. So whenever I would, let's say, jump off a thing to my untimely death, it was on accident, but it was frequent. And so we would be playing online, and I would inevitably end up with like 4 kills and 19 deaths every single time. And I got like some level of perverse pleasure out of it. I also got the normal pleasure of playing video games, because playing video games is fun. But also, the cries of anguish from everybody else in the room sort of made me want to keep going and keep getting utterly slaughtered.
That's so good. I'm in love with that story. Now, that did live up to the hype.
I'm kind of the same way, because I'm also awful at first-person shooters. And back in when the first Xbox came out, the first Halo came out, we actually had... all my friends got together, and we played 16-player Halo in one house, which is really awesome. But of course, the problem is that I'm horrible at Halo. So, what I started to do, since I'm so awful at shooting, was that I would always hit people from behind, just to get the points, basically. That's how I would score in Halo. Like, everyone would score, like, 20, up to 25 frags, and, you know, they'll get, like, close to 20 or whatever. I'm always at, like, 3 or 4, because all I would do is hit someone from behind. And from then on, like, after an hour or whatever, it's like, watch out for Ray. All he's going to do is hit people from behind. And it's like, oh.
So you're just the assassin of the group.
Basically, yeah. I am so awful at first-person shooters.
My entire high school life was spent on first-person shooters. Like, high school was the Xbox 360 and Call of Duty 4 and Halo 3. I'm pretty sure... I one time spent an entire 24/7 period, not 24/7 period, but definitely an entire night in one room just playing Halo 3 and nothing else. Like, now I can't even sit down and play, like, a single game for longer than, like, 45 minutes without being like, hey, I'm a little tired here. Maybe I'll, like, listen to something or change into a different game. I can't believe I could just sit there and play the same one or two games for hours on end in high school. Like, that just boggles my mind.
It also blows my mind when my friends do that. Like, they would play Super Smash Bros. Like, all night. Like, until, like, 9 in the morning or whatever. Like, I go over there, I was like,
I used to be able to do that.
Yeah. I can never do that. And I'm a video game fanatic, but I can't do that, you know?
The only sorts of games that I would ever be able to do anything remotely close to that with, it's like... the computer game. Your Civilization 2 and 3. Mm. Two is when I did the like downright unhealthy binges. Three and four, I got into sort of a more of a normal thing that I can actually tell other people about without literally changing the details. Oh yeah, and then I went to bed at 1:30. You know. Oh my god!
In reality, it was 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But man, back in 1999, just and one of the cool things was on Civilization 2, you could it was a CD-based game. But what you could do is put in the CD, start the game, and then take out the CD and put in whatever music CD you wanted. And so the game wouldn't realize, like, the only reason the game used the CD after it booted it up was for the music. And so the game would just be like, "Oh, now it's Gandhi turn, so we'll play a Gandhi track." And, you know, I put in like Fat Boy Slim, and oh, it's a Rockefeller Skank, yay. Fish, I don't know. But that was a nice little fun quirk, and it kept everything rolling. Yeah, Gandhi loves Fat Boy Slim. I don't know if you knew that, but now you know that.
I'm just imagining DMX playing or something like that with Gandhi. Just that combination is just, it's perfect.
Oh man, that's excellent. I should try out some of the Civilization. I never thought about it that way. So
I can never get into Civilization, but I always played Warcraft 2 and Warcraft 3. I played the hell out of those games in high school and middle school, especially Warcraft 2, which is actually one of the first games I ever played because my uncle was, at the time, not the best influence, showed me a game, that game when I was like 4 years old.
Yes, my lord!
Yeah! Man, I had forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a very, very, very fun game. At no point did I ever think that it was going to revolutionize gameplay as we knew it 10 years down the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was fun, but you were never going to think, well, this is going to be the greatest franchise ever, and they're going to make a $100 million movie about it. Like, you would even expect it more out of Command & Conquer than Warcraft. Somehow that one hasn't materialized.
Back to guilty pleasure games. I had a few. A lot of games on my list are basically involved with like musical artists. So like,
which is fitting of you.
Yeah, which is fitting of me. Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. Like the
premise. Great game.
Great game. The premise is kind of awful if you think about Michael Jackson because it's like
saving children.
Yes.
Jesus, I hadn't even considered that. Yeah, no, that one hasn't aged well. Not in the slightest.
It's like, it's hilarious to me. It's like when you beat up the bad guys, like you dance to, you know, Michael Jackson songs to beat them, right? Mm-hmm. But it's just the fact that you're rescuing children. It's just like, well.
Children who are hidden and cowering, and then you're Michael Jackson going and finding them. Like, this is bad now.
Exactly.
This is hashtag problematic.
I think we should have seen that one coming like later on in life. Like, look at the game, look at this, and go, kind of putting two and two together here.
Wait,
the Moonwalking was cool.
Was this him confessing? Like,
yeah, really. It's just, oh my god, it's just such a bad bit right now. Also, I have Britney Spears Dance Beat, which is actually a decent game, but you know, you can only play the same five songs over and over for so long.
Mm-hmm.
There is Space Channel 5, which
I've heard of that.
Yeah, which is a good game, but it's very short, and of course, Michael Jackson is also in it, too.
Oh, sure.
Of course he is, right?
I've never heard of that.
Like, Michael Jackson has a weird, like, affinity to video games or involvement with them. He apparently made the soundtrack to Sonic 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that, too, yeah.
You've got to find the article if you haven't read it, because it's fascinating. And like, they denied it for the longest time. Then somebody found some tracks that sounded exactly the same, and they kept digging and digging, and eventually they found out that, like, one, Michael Jackson did it sort of privately, and then two, when he wanted to take some credit, it was like right when things were going bad. And so they're like, we can't possibly put his name on this, not even if we wanted to. But when they finally cajoled somebody at Sega to admitting it. Yeah. It's the strangest thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's also this Game Boy Advance game, I think Game Boy Color game, called Instinct Get to the Show. And it's not even a musical game, it's just more like a lot of concentration games or driving games or whatever, and it's just like involving Instinct saying, oh, let's get to the concert, guys, whatever. And it's like, okay. And you're just wondering what's going to happen next. It's like, it has nothing to do with Death Stinging or anything like that, you know?
I'm glad it lives up to the name.
Yeah.
I got a handful of guilty pleasure games. One of them is, I realized as I was trying to go through this, I really enjoy just, like, Japanese terrible plots. Like, there's this game, Custom Robo, where the plot of the game is basically that, the world is flat, although it's actually not flat, because this is technically a spoiler, but you can't spoil the story. It's horrible.
Yeah.
The world isn't flat. Instead, it's actually round. It was destroyed by a single like robot like years ago, and they had to like retreat into like these little domes. And they taught kids that yes, the world has an end with a wall, and that's actually flat, and all that fake material that, like, looks all plasticky is actually, like, real grass.
Okay,
and,
sure.
Yeah, it's the worst plot ever. It's really enjoyable for that, but I also enjoy it because the combat is actually fairly entertaining, but it's also kind of dumb, where the way these people fight each other is they go into, like, little robo-battles, but, like, not in the actual robos. Like, they just kind of stand there and stare at each other, and, like, a little orb appears, and, like, they're fighting in, like, a little arena inside the orb. Like, they're kind of, like, mentally fighting there. I'm always like, why don't you just, like, you know, fist fight each other? Like, this doesn't seem very productive. And the way you get better robots is you collect parts. So, like, it's also a collect-a-thon game. It's really not a good game, but I love it so much.
All those collect-a-thon games, like, basically Pokemon or whatever. What's that? Even, like, the Mario games are, like, sort of collect-a-thon games, too, because you're, like, collecting stars or whatever, that sort of thing.
It's funny you mention Pokemon, because I also love the Mega Man Battle Network series, which is it's basically Pokemon, but with Mega Man, where you collect viruses in the form of chips, and also features terribly horrible Japanese-written plots.
You're collecting viruses. That sounds attractive.
Yeah, but, well, they're in the form of chips, and you use their powers, basically, like, the powers of the chips, like, destroy other viruses and other navvies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Usually there's some kind of friendship moment and we're all happy.
Yeah, they're known for that sort of thing. I also play games with their awful voice acting because you just can't help but laugh at it.
The original Resident Evil.
Exactly. Yes. I love the original Resident Evil because it's so awful, but you're so entertained by it. You're just entertaining, you know what I mean? It's like, hey there, Jill. You almost became a Jill sandwich. You're right, Barry. It's like, you're gonna die, and you're just like, yeah, you're right. Like, okay, cool.
I hope that's not Chris's blood.
That was too close. You were almost a Jill sandwich.
You're right.
There's a door in the hallway. We'd better find it.
Oh, man. And it even includes, like, not just that, but the hand motions that they do while they're, you know, talking or whatever. It's just so bad. So, man, I just play it just for that.
The only cinematic with, like, those weird, like, terribly CGI monsters. Jason! Yeah.
There's also a Dreamcast game called Shenmue. It's supposed to be based in... Yeah, they're trying to make a Part 3 now. So, it's based in 80s China or Hong Kong, I forget. 80s Japan, really. And the voice acting is so bad. Like, it would kind of make sense if you would see it, you know, if you read the dialogue or whatever. Excuse me, there were satyrs hanging out, but when it's said, it sounds so bizarre. Can you find a black car in this rainy day? It's like, huh? And it's all monotone sounding and everything. And the game is not bad, but you just can't help but just laugh at the horrendous voice acting. I would play games just for that, just to hear the voice acting.
Mm-hmm. Do you know any places where sailors hang out around here?
Sailors? Yeah, I see them at night.
At night?
They're really big, bad dudes, you know. I think they drink a lot of booze at the bars or someplace.
Bars?
Yep. You can see them hanging around the motorcycle shop.
Good point.
That's fair. I mean, I would play games just for the intro, which is not a thing to be proud of, because that's not even playing. That's just watching what they could do, like, cinematically on a Super Nintendo. That's not something to be proud of.
I have a good game that's not bad, but it's still kind of a guilty pleasure. Have either of you guys ever played Gears of War?
Yeah, I played Gears. Yes, yeah.
Those games are, I consider them a guilty pleasure just because they're the most over-the-top manly games. Like, they're trying so hard to be manliness ever. Like, all of the male characters have, like, just these giant bodies, and they have turret sections, and just an over absurd amount of blood. Like, they're trying so hard to be actiony, and it reaches a point where it's comedic at times. You're like, you're sawing through a locust, and you're like, oh my god, this is just the best.
let's go across some different platforms. One game which was maybe the worst game ever created, so
Super
I enjoyed
64?
It. Oh, no. This was on the Commodore 64.
Okay.
And it was called Potty Pigeon.
Potty Pigeon, like P-O-T-T-Y?
That's right. And yeah. What you do is you're a pigeon, and you fly around, and you collect sticks to build your nest, as pigeons do. What you also do is poop on cars and make them crash. That's the whole game.
That sounds awesome, though.
Yeah, but it's the replay value is minimal at best, because like once you play it for maybe 5 minutes, I mean you've got it. There's absolutely no there's no polish to it. There's nothing. Advanced, you're flying up and down like you. It's this like small loop of scenery. You know how like in the Looney Tunes or Tom and Jerry, whenever Tom would be chasing Jerry or whichever one's a cat, and they're running through the room and they run by like the same lamp and table like 15 times over the course of the chase. It was basically that, like you would fly by the same four buildings. maybe
video
like three different trees.
I pulled up a video after you said the name of it, and he's 100% right. This is exactly how he's describing. Oh my god.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not,
exact
I'm not exaggerating here.
Nothing's changing. Oh, he got hit by
that's
a car
right.
And died.
Oh,
and
then, yeah,
a little ghost bird flies up.
Yeah, that's it. That's the whole game. So naturally, it came out when my brother and I were children, like grade school children, and we loved it. Just adored it. And now I kind of miss it. to some more advanced platforms. Did you guys, and you mentioned Japanese games earlier.
Yeah.
Did either of you ever play Legend of the Mystical Ninja on Super Nintendo?
I have played that, yes. I have played
what
that.
What an awesome game that was. I miss it. Like, every 6 months or so, I just catch myself daydreaming, and I'm like, oh, man, I want to play that. I want to play it right now. But I don't have anything to play it with, so I can't. But it was this strangely enjoyable, extremely Japanese, like one or
oh
two
God,
person platform
kidding.
Game, and all sorts of like Japanese iconography, strangely enjoyable action. You know, because there isn't a whole lot of variation in how you can do a platform on 16 bits. So it really just comes down to how well they execute it, and it's a very well executed game, and I kind of miss it. And it was perfect for the Blockbuster video era of video games.
Yes,
the goal was to just knock it out in 48 hours, and then you take it back. So, like, I'm glad that I never spent, like, $70 on the cartridge, because I don't think I would have played it a whole lot more than, like, once or twice after beating it. But, no, it was just this quirky, fun, kind of great game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I acknowledge the box art.
Oh, it's great. And everything... It's extremely busy, but everything on that box art is actually in the game.
Right.
He's
great.
Riding a tiger. It's so good.
Yo, that happens. Yes.
There's a what looks like a wise old man carrying a flute, and there's some horses in the back with different colors.
Yes.
A dragon, a clown. Mm-hmm. You're the clowns. I need to pick up this game at some point.
It's quite fun. You'll enjoy yourself. And one more game that I found myself just missing randomly, especially if it's like 10 p.m. on a Saturday and I'm just bored. Usually, the way I used to remedy that back about a decade ago was turn on the PlayStation 2 and play Hot Shots Golf. Or Hot
Shots. My God!
Oh, yeah! Dude!
I love Hot Shots Golf.
I miss that game so bad. It was cutesy, cartoonish. The physics kind of worked. You know, there was nothing preposterous until you got really good at the game, and then you could deliberately make it do preposterous things. But it was a very pleasant and positive game too. Like whenever you would do anything halfway correctly, there would be this. Your caddy would be, "Oh, nice shot!" And I'm like, yes, thank you, it was. I agree.
Hey guys, it's Pamela Horton, Miss October 2012, and you're listening to Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast. See you then.
There's this series, I think it's a series, but I only played the first game, but there is this supremely homoerotic game called Chouaniki. It's a Japanese game. It's a shooter, but in the background is a bunch of, like, muscular guys just doing homoerotic things, and it's so, like, you just want to play the game because you want to see the imagery the entire time. But it's just, it has nothing to do with it. It's just a shooter, you know? But
the entire imagery... Why are you guys even here?
Yeah. The entire imagery is just, you know, completely homoerotic. And I'm just kind of like, I want to see what the next stage looks like. Oh.
That's a little weird. That's definitely a guilty pleasure. That's a weird one.
Yeah, the game was decent. Like, but, you know, it's just like, okay, that's weird. Okay, what do they have next? Oh my god, these guys are hugging and doing stuff. Yikes.
You're like, gay. Hey, come on now, gay guys. There's gunshots here. This isn't the right place for that. Think about your future.
Yeah.
Come on. There's some hotels. Even your own bedrooms. Just not here with the gun blow.
Anything. Anywhere here.
Yeah.
We want you to prosper.
Yeah. And of course, like, the counterpart for that is, like, there's a bunch of games, like, for example, a puzzle game called Gauss Panic, where it's like, you just do some like, you know, weird puzzle game or whatever, and at the end you get a picture of, like, a naked anime woman or whatever. It's like,
absolutely.
Lots of those in Japan, so.
To keep on the trend of Japan here, have you heard of Asura's Wrath?
No, I have not.
What?
Asura's Wrath. It's a game where you play a god of some kind, who his family gets killed or kidnapped or something like that, so he just gets really angry and punches and destroys everything. And in one of the DLC fights, you fight Ryu from Street Fighter.
Oh, nice!
It's the most... If you guys have ever watched anime, it's the most anime game ever created, like, in the history of Japanese games.
That's saying a lot. Chris, you're making a bold claim here.
I am, but I also think I'm correct, which is the scariest part.
You know what else I like are those point-and-click games. Like, and they're also pretty prominent in the Sega CD era as well, where it's like, you know, those full-motion videos where you just click on something and then, you know, something happens or whatever. Like, there's a game called Double Switch where it has, I think it's one of the Corey Feldman or whatever, where he's, like, trying to help, he needs your help to get out of this house full of gadgets or whatever. And,
you know, that's a game.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
And it's just, and it's like, you know, it's your regular B, C rated, acting and whatever, and it's just like, you're just interested in what kinds of traps that the house has put, that they've put in the house just to help Corey Feldman escape.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I'm not motivated to help Corey Feldman survive. I'm sorry.
That's the game where you turn it on and you kind of leave it there.
Yeah, that's true. Just leave it there.
Speaking of seeing the bad things, do you guys ever play? Horror games and then, like, specifically, like, try to find the instant death kills just to see what happens?
Oh yes. God.
Silent Hill has, like, a plethora of them, and just, I'm terrible. Like, it's like, I'm supposed to be guiding this person, like, to their salvation or whatever, and instead I'm putting them into the spike, because I want to see what happens.
Or I look for deaths, even, because there's a game called Clock Tower, also point and click, too, but it's for a PlayStation 1, which is funny. But, you just try to hide from this guy chasing you, very slow, his name is Scissorman, yeah. Scissorman. So you either try to hide somewhere, and then you just wait whether he kills you or not, or you go to another room and there's a death that just happened. You know, it's like someone got electrocuted, someone got hung, or someone got decapitated, or whatever. There are deaths everywhere. You just kind of look for them, too.
I was just streaming that game, and when Scissor Man came out, like, this was the one on, either Super Nintendo, it was before Polygons, and when Scissor Man came out, I started laughing at him, because he's with the least threatening-looking person ever.
Yeah, he's basically like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, just like...
with a pair of scissors!
Yeah, with a big pair of boots, with a big pair of shears, and he's walking ever so slowly.
And you can really shove him down.
Yeah. It's like, oh my god, he's gonna catch me, and he's like walking like, you know, 5 feet per hour or whatever. So, I don't know.
My favorite ending is when you go to the garage and go to the car, and if you, like, click the car 3 times or whatever, like, you'll leave early, and you'll just smash through, like, the barn and leave. Like, you'll leave all... your friends behind, even though I'm pretty sure they're all dead or whatever. And then, as you're driving, like, she looks in the rearview mirror, and a pair of scissors just pops up from the back.
Yes! Well, you're gonna die anyway!
And you hear, like, the screams.
Do you guys ever watch the Conan show? Because Conan is a lot like me in that he is awful at video games. And so... naturally, he subjects everyone to watching him play video games, mm-hmm. even the new ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had on they were doing the new Tomb Raider, the post Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one where your Lara Croft character lady has to navigate some falls, like some rapids, some running rapids.
Mm, yeah.
And if you don't, like, hit your cue just right, she gets impaled through the mouth and head with the stick. And you don't see it coming, like, it's just very sudden, like, whoosh, which I guess it would have to be sudden if it's gonna go through your spine. And it's a stick. But and so Conan, you know, it happened to him once, and so then they just spent the next, like, 4 minutes of the of the entire thing, of the segment, of him dying like that over and over and over again.
Oh, that sounds painful. Poor Lara.
Yeah, yeah. She's okay. She walked it off.
Yeah.
Strong girl.
I know. I've seen Conan do that sort of thing. I think he played, like, Just Dance with, like, Alex Morgan.
And
it was just like... Alex Morgan became so competitive when Conan was basically, like, keeping up with her on that game. Which is hilarious, because it's like, Conan O'Brien dancing. Yeah, okay, sure. You know? And Asmore got super competitive, like, halfway through a game, and she ends up winning. But it's just so hilarious how they became so competitive in that game. And, you know, it's Conan O'Brien. Like, you expect that for Conan O'Brien?
I wish video games had been mainstream longer than they have been, because I'd love to see, like, games like Sonic Adventure, the very first one, get played, like, on a national TV talk show.
Right.
Because that bugged-out mess would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually one of my guilty games, is Sonic Adventure, which it's... not a terrible game, but it's aged like milk, and the fact that it just gets worse with every year, and there's so many glitches, and I love it so, and I can play through it, like, really fast. I probably beat it 2 times a year just because I can. Like, it's just that I know it, like, the back of my hand at this point.
Since we're also connected with basketball, this game is awful, but Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball is really, really bad.
Oh,
But it's super, super easy, too.
What game?
Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball. Super Nintendo.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Combat Basketball.
I've never heard of this.
It's one of the early Super Nintendo games. So, all you really need, like, Super Nintendo has 6 buttons. But for some reason, all you need is 1 button in that game. Like, it's everything.
Yeah, the shove button, yes.
The punch shove button, the pass button, the shoot button are all B.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's so slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's the thing. It's interminably slow.
Mm-hmm.
But at least the computer is dumb as rocks at the same time.
I've seen that from this video. They're just they just passed it out of bounds.
Yeah.
That's not even unusual.
The first time I played this game, I won like 55-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's fun for like that one game and then okay, I'm not gonna play it anymore, you know. It's a guilty pleasure once in a while when, you know. That's because the computer
just to remind yourself why you don't. Yeah, you have to play it once and remind yourself why you don't play it more than once a year. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
it's the really weird history of basically putting actual names on video on basketball games and all that. I want to say the very first one was Larry Bird. And Larry Bird versus Dr. J, and I'm pretty sure Larry Bird was like, I want nothing to do with this game, even though my name is on it.
Yeah. Later on, Michael Jordan, who had his, you know, Jordan versus Bird, and then, and then Chaos in the Windy City for Super Nintendo, which is basically like, you know.
Yes.
There's like a bunch of baskets all over the place.
And you can dunk on them.
And you can dunk on them. And you use your basketball weapons.
It's
like, I wish
it's so bad good.
Yeah. I wish it was a guilty pleasure. It's just, it doesn't play well, though. So.
I bet they're really glad they put up all those basketball hoops around the city.
Yeah.
They just really paid off right at that moment. It just empowered Michael Jordan.
Yeah. I imagine Chicago was like that in 1994. Hey, guys. Just remember that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show on Stitcher and RayRay.net, and it's being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. Follow me on Twitter at TheNoLookPass, and follow the podcast Twitter at RayRayIsFun, since you cannot fit RayRayIsFundamental on the Twitter handle. Now back to the show.
This is Harrison Fagan from Silver Screen and Roll. You're listening to the RayRay is Fundamental podcast.
Fundamental. Power ranking.
Top 5 guilty pleasure games. Ever.
My top 5. In no particular order. 50 Cent Blood on the Sand, which is... I love that game for so many reasons.
Yeah.
Sonic Adventure, Custom Robo, Gears of War, and SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom.
What?
That game. SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom. Have you not heard of it?
I've heard of SpongeBob games, but not that one.
It's
battle
a game where...
SpongeBob does battle?
Yes, he battles, and you get little bubble power-ups such as like a bowling ball move where you can bowl down robots that have taken over Bikini Bottom.
Sure.
The GameCube era of games had a lot of really bad Nickelodeon games about the popular cartoons at the time, like Fairly Odd Parents and Ed and Eddie and all that. And the SpongeBob ones were just a particular blend of bad, and I just... enjoy them for the pure nostalgia and the fact that I'm also like, this is a terrible, terrible game, and I love it for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, I have my own collection of awful games, but man, when I tried that Spice World video game for PlayStation 1, there's a Spice World game. It's not even much of a game. Like, you're trying to mix music, it doesn't make sense, and it's hard to control, and after like 5 minutes of mixing with that, you're done, and then you get to basically see like a, I don't know, some sort of like documentary of the Spice Girls. It's like, oh, what's your favorite venue to perform on or whatever, that sort of thing. Or what's your, you know, it's like a get to know you sort of thing for the Spice Girls. And that was it. You're done in 20 minutes. You can look it up on YouTube. So, yeah. I basically wasted a good $3 on that. Good thing I didn't spend $50 on that thing, because that would have been awful.
Oh, what's the cheapest money you spent on a game? I bought 2 Human for like $2. And it turns out that now that game is apparently, like, super rare.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like, I bought a bunch of sports games that are, like, a quarter or, like, you know, a buck or whatever. I got NBA Jam Tournament for, like, $1 in, like, some random Blockbuster store back then. So, you know. But sports games are usually cheap anyway.
Because they're just so outdated.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, this thing is 2 years old with the rosters. Get out of here.
Yeah, you can practically buy, like, Madden 14 for, like, $2, I'm sure, at this point, so.
I picked up Madden 09 out of the 7-Eleven, like, bargain bins.
I had some guilty pleasures, too. Shadowrun for the Super Nintendo, phenomenal game. And it's even better when you don't know that it's about one of those, like, super futuristic Dungeons & Dragons sorts of, like, paper games. Because, like, my friends, like, start playing that for actual real, and I'm like, oh, this isn't as fun. NBA Live 96. For the theme song. Because, it sounds like Korn. Which, when you think about basketball, you think Korn.
Of course.
Just the heaviest guitar sound possible for good old NBA basketball.
Yes.
When you see Michael Jordan dunking, you immediately think of guitar riffs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, one game I play way too much right now is Two Dots.
Oh,
It's a puzzle game. I'm already through level 835, so I play it way too much. That's how many there are right now, by the way. You can get up to 835, as I have. Cool spot for Nintendo and Genesis game. With the setup thing, it should have been terrible. It was great. And my number one all-time guilty pleasure, it's so bad I don't even recommend finding it. It's called New Star Soccer, and it's on the, you can find it on the computer, like on Kongregate.com, and I think it's supposed to be like a first generation iPod Touch game, because it's it's a game that's in like a vertical window, and it's you like click on things, so apparently you're probably supposed to touch, although I never actually heard about it being a game on the App Store. And it's so bad and simplistic, and I used to spend hours playing it, because you could do things like go to the Premier League but also be an international star from like the Faroe Leagues or the Faroe Islands. You've never even heard of those, but they exist and you can be from there. And so there's this endless combination of like leagues to play in, and like the Premier Leagues are harder than the South Korean League. And so it has no right to be taking up any amount of your time, and yet if you play it even once, you'll probably, unless you get frustrated with how non-responsive it is, if once you get past the poor controls, you'll probably play it for 15 hours straight. So don't even try it once. I've made that mistake, so you don't have to.
Yeah.
You mentioned Cool Spot, and that reminds me of this game. I've never played it. I've only seen video of it. It's called Pepsi Man. Apparently, in Japan for a while, they had this mascot called Pepsi Man, and his goal in life was to run. He got everywhere by running and deliver Pepsi to the thirsty patrons. And in his entire video game, it's an endless runner where like you just have to dodge objects and collect Pepsi and deliver it to the very thirsty Pepsi people. It has the most hilarious theme song ever. Oh, it's also the best.
So I'm gonna guess here, with knowing nothing about it. I'm guessing the theme song is just Pepsi Man over and over and over.
Yep, it's playing the music. It has music and everything, but it's like the only lyric is Pepsi Man.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. I knew nothing about it before right now, and I still got
didn't
it.
Didn't know anything.
Oh, man. So I guess if I were to come up with my own top five, five is Resident Evil, obviously for the voice acting. Four is Shenmue. Same thing, but it's even more preposterous because, again, why would you go around asking, hey, do you know where satyrs hang out? Yeah, fantastic. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Three is Space Channel 5. I told you about that, where, you know, it's just like you're trying to save the world because they forbid you from dancing or whatever. Two is the Britney Spears game. You can only hear the same five songs over and over, but whatever, it's fun. And number one, Moonwalker. The premise is awful because we know Michael Jackson and his children. But yeah, it just plays really well, and I feel guilty playing it sometimes.
And there's a cross grab button.
All the time, really. It's the definition of
kind of guilt.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know. So whenever you play Moonwalker, whether it's the Genesis version or the arcade version even, because there are different versions, just remember what Michael Jackson's been through.
God.
Yeah. And on that note, let's end this episode. Adam, go ahead and Chris, go ahead and pump your social media.
You can find me on Twitter at Chris Barnwell, C H R I S-B-A-R-N-E, Wall. I usually talk about either basketball or video games or whatever sport happens to be going on right now at that moment, so just...
Yeah.
It's a mixed bag.
Yeah. And Adam.
I'm on the social medias at @Adam_Jacoby. The underscore is always important. It continues to be important. You can find my writing at goiowaawesome.com. And if you Google my name, because I don't know what a good link is, you can find some of my college football work on a national level at the Sports Exchange. There's no E at the beginning of Sports Exchange, because if there were, it would spell something different that's bad. So it's a Sports Exchange. Well, I shouldn't say bad. I should just say not for everybody. In honor of the one guilty pleasure that didn't get mentioned by anybody, which is, of course, the video game Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, just remember... remember, there's no need to be bugging when it's a Ninja Turtle you're hugging.
Oh, wow.
All right. That's why I'm here. I was here for that.
Anyway, have a great night.
Thanks for wasting my time, guys.
Blame Ray Ray.
Molded.